You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
A heartwarming Australia Day story for you that I've got coming up for you right now. And it involves an initiative making a significant impact by providing an incentive for the children of our Indigenous community in the far northwest of the country to attend school. Well, how does this all happen? Well, let me introduce you to Jack Cannons AM. Jack is the founder of this initiative, which was founded around about 12 years ago. Ooh, a lot of noise here, isn't there? It was founded, when I say 12 years ago, I'm saying 20 years ago. And rather than me telling you about it, because I'm hashing it right now, I'm going to let Jack do it, because Jack joins me on the phone right now. Jack, good afternoon. Welcome to Monday Drive.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about this great program.
It is a great program indeed, isn't it? When did you come up with the plan?
I came up with the plan early 2000. I'd met a lady who sadly now passed, Auntie Joy Stuhl, who in the early 90s. And I met her through her wanting Christmas presents for kids that had never received Christmas presents. And they relationship developed with Joyce and her husband Les, who are a big part of the community in Bawarana, and Joyce and some of the other elders had started up a thing called the Granny Patrol. They'd walk the streets, make sure the kids were safe, bring them back to her home and feed them and care for them. She really loved the children. I used to nickname her Mother Teresa of the Bush. She was that amazing.
And that was 20 years ago, you said?
Oh, over 20 years. That was in the 90s. And then in early 2000, I was having a cup of tea with her, and she's saying, Jack, how can we get these kids to school? A lot of them don't have self-esteem or confidence. How can we make this happen? So I did a business plan, and I went back out and saw her, and 20 years ago this year, we kicked off our first Push to Beach. And
what did you do before then, Jack? What gave you the skills to be able to put such a convincing business plan together?
Look, I've been involved with charity work all my life, basically. I came from the bush originally, and had a mum and dad who I didn't have any money, but they were always helping people and caring for others. And I was on the board of directors, and still am, of Variety, the children's charity, and the Variety Bash. And I've been involved in programs in Haiti, Ukraine, all around the world, and it's all about for caring for kids.
Wow.
But I saw a real need in our Indigenous community to help these wonderful children. They're disadvantaged by location and other, and the plan was to build confidence, self-esteem, and the incentive is go to school for a year, behave, and you're going to have the most wonderful trip to the bush and see something else that's different out of your community.
But when you tell somebody that, they're all going to rush to it, aren't they? They're all going to go to school. What is the selection criteria for the kids to come from the country to the city?
The selection criteria, I leave it up to the elders because they know the kids that are doing it tough. We ended up going from 30 to 40 kids this year because the Thomas and Danielle up in the bush, they said, Jack, I've got a waiting list. I've got a 9-year-old girl, 11-year-old boy. They don't have parents to support them. They've got a grandmother and she's getting old. And now, these kids have been behaving themselves because they've heard of bush to beach. I can't knock them back, so numbers grew 25%.
Wow. It's an extraordinary logistical organisation, I would think, to be able to manage 30 kids at a time, bringing them from...
Now 40.
Yeah, well, there you go. 40 kids at a time. How do you physically manage it? I mean, do they all get on a bus from wherever they come from, which is the far northwest of Australia?
Yes.
Or they obviously catch an aeroplane, I suppose. First time they've probably even done that.
Yeah, no, there's not an aeroplane that could carry them. There's no airport nearby. No, the kids are selected, and I have a lot of set rules. I require 5 pages of paperwork per child and per carer, and that there's a lot of logistics. We've got to look at what meals, we've got to look at medical, Medicare numbers and authority. I then have 1 carer per 5 children from the bush. So there's 1 per 5. South Narrabeen Surf Life Saving Club, which I run one program there. I run another one up in Queensland now. I'm expanding. So they provide me with 1 lifesaver per 4 to 5 children. And I have 20 diehard volunteers that work 15, 16 hours a day there with the kids. So I'm providing a carer. 1 carer per 2 children.
Wow. And they're billeted in homes, are they?
No. That becomes very complicated. I wish we could, because the cost of accommodation is horrendous.
I bet.
But I put them up at the Collaroy Centre at Collaroy, which caters for groups of children. They have breakfast there, but all their other meals are down at the surf club Saturday night. We had our 20th baked dinner, and we were laughing about we cook up 50 kilos of Scotch fillet, which a wonderful bloke donates to me every year, worth thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So we've cooked up 1,000 kilos of Scotch fillet in the last 20 years.
But that in itself would be something fairly new to the kids, wouldn't it?
A lot of them have never had a baked dinner.
Yeah.
So they get potatoes, pumpkin, beans, and great dessert and this wonderful meat and gravy, and I have a comedian, Super Hubert, come along and put on a show, and I had state and federal politicians turn up for the dinner, and local mayor and deputy mayor, and they just all love the program. And as I try to expand, and I am really truly believe that this can go on right around the country, that we need more funds to do this.
I bet you don't
have any paid staff.
Yeah,
all volunteers.
Yeah, my guess is that the kids themselves haven't actually ever travelled very far from their home villages. How do they respond to the prospect of coming to Sydney or coming to the Big Smoke, wherever they go?
Yeah, look, in the early ones, many of the kids had never seen the ocean. We had a few little kids that hadn't seen the ocean this year. I'd say 80%, 70% had. But a small number hadn't, and the look on their face, the excitement, jumping in that ocean, and the salt water's fantastic for them. If they've got any ear, nose, and throat problems, just the salt water cleans them out.
But even before they get here, though, Jack, when you're talking to them where they live, or when they are being spoken to where they live, are they terrified by the idea of coming to the Big Smoke?
No, they're not. They're not. They our carers that from their communities know the kids, they trust. There's a lot of trust and respect, and that's what my program's about, for trust and respect. Doesn't matter what the colour of your skin is.
Mm.
And so there's this trust and respect. When the kids arrive, they're a little bit apprehensive.
I bet.
But it doesn't take long to break down the barriers. You know, I had five young women from Melbourne fly up at their own cost. I only dropped them to the airport just a little while ago, and they said they've never seen anything like it. But they developed a trust with these children. I have people flying down from Queensland. And I've got local volunteers who've worked a lot longer than that as well.
Mm.
And the barriers are broken down, and the smiles come on the faces. And and the people that support me, Matty Granger, Manly Surf School, for 20 years, he donates his time. I had Joyce Doole, this wonderful woman. I had her, very special for the 20 years. I had her daughter as a carer. I had a granddaughter as a carer. And I had some of the original kids as carers.
Uh-huh.
And, so the reason I'm saying these kids know these generations of different people.
Mm.
But I also had a great-great-great-great-granddaughter who's nine who hadn't seen the ocean.
Right.
Maddie Granger from Manly Surf School had a she caught nine waves. He had her standing up on a board in half an hour.
Well, gee whiz, that's talent. I'm not quite sure whether the talent was for the youngster or the coach. But tell me, Jack, that's how the kids feel. How do the parents feel? Because I can understand it might almost be triggering for some parents out in the Aboriginal communities to let their children go.
Yeah, look. Over the 20 years, we've built up this trust. We get back to the trust and respect. Mm. And I spent a lot of time with Joyce, building this, and her husband, Les, at the time, who too has passed. But during those years, I'd get a call from Joyce once or twice a year. I remember once it was freezing cold, and she said, I forget how many kids, 40, 50 kids didn't have shoes. So I organised shoes to go out there. I organised blankets to go out there. And as this has developed, I've got people on the beaches who've set up great friendships with Bawarana. And one of the ladies, she's 92 now, and she's been out there many times. She's a local lady, white lady on the northern beaches. She's been going out there for years, taking carloads of baby clothes out and young kids' clothes out. And they're planning another trip now. So this has just been a wonderful, beautiful relationship with people, and that's what the world's about. That's how it should be.
Sure, it certainly should. Tell us how the participants from the bush communities describe the experience after they've had it and after they've returned back to their communities.
Oh, look, they sell it. Every child gets a bush to beach backpack. They get a bush to beach water bottle, and this is with our logo on it.
They're doing your job for you. Doing your marketing for you.
Yeah, they're marketing. They're walking around with a T-shirt, Push the Beach T-shirt, with a painting on the back, which was painted by one of the original kids. She's now 26. She painted that for me a couple of years ago.
Mm.
So there's that connection with the bush, with everything that they do. We've introduced a recycling program, and every kid gets a booklet and some colouring pens. And it talks about plastics in the ocean, so we don't do plastic bottles. Mm. Kids fill the water bottle up. And the book's about Myrtle the turtle, which is what Charlotte painted for me that's on the back of their T-shirt.
This isn't only a reward for attending school and for learning at school. They're learning while they're here.
Yes. Yeah, very much learning. They all do CPR courses, basic first aid. But everything we do is fun, and it keeps building that trust and respect.
Yeah. Tell us about Christopher Burra McHughes and his involvement this year.
He is an amazing young man. I've known him and his dad in particular. His dad's just a little Charlie, lovely, lovely bloke, very much involved in the community. When Burra first started coming down, Joyce said to me, look after this young man, he's pretty special. And so over the years, we developed a great friendship. And
When you say the years, his first journey was in 2005, I understand.
2006, I think.
Okay. Well, and, that's still a long time.
Yeah. And so I'd always see him and his dad when we'd go up there, and he'd often be around at Joyce's place. And anyway, this young kid, he was, at the time, there wasn't many children doing year 12, and he went through to year 12. Next thing, he's involved with the fire service, and which led on that he ended up running the cultural burning and emergency services at about 22 years of age in Queensland. He moved back to Bawarana just before COVID. He started doing a lot of work in the communities and going into the communities and looking at the health of kids, a big thing for a young bloke, and putting his own life at risk. And
because he's also he was also a very shy kid too, wasn't he? So yes. to bring him out and to have these sort of achievements now has got to be an example for a lot of the kids who look up to him.
He is so well respected. The work that he did during COVID and in the community, he was one of four New South Wales kids to be nominated for the Australian of the Year.
Mm. I feel guilty calling him a kid. I mean, he's a photographer as well.
He's an unbelievable photographer. A lot of the TV stations and ABC and all used his photos over the years. But he's also basically fully trained paramedic now.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. And he's got this program to thank for it largely. Tell us some of the program highlights that the kids will be engaged with.
Look, he's been involved with a lot. Sadly, he couldn't come down on this trip, which we were all hoping for him to come down, because he often does our CPR stuff.
All right.
But he's just moved to Gundawindi, and he was out on an emergency. He was leaving to come down on Saturday morning so he could be here for the dinner and do the CPR.
Mm.
He ended up on a 23-hour shift. There was some major emergency up there on a... So it would have been too risky for him to work for 23 hours and then drive.
Yeah, but it does show you his contribution to the community, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just extraordinary. Other than talking about Barra himself, what sort of activities will the kids be exposed to on this program? It's just finished, I might hasten to add. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday yesterday. So what are some of the things that the kids got up to?
Well, they arrived after about a 12.5-hour bus trip. They arrived Thursday afternoon about 6 o'clock. We then had them off the bus at Collaroy Pool, had them the Surf Life Savers down there. We did a proficiency test with... I'm doing risk assessments every hour.
Proficiency tests? These kids have never seen water before. How can they be proficient?
The ocean, no. But look, they all passed the swimming test.
What?
And I've never had it. We've had a couple of kids that have a little bit. We're watching them because we put a wristband on them. They can't go in the water unless it's one-on-one with a lifesaver.
Right.
But the training that we do for them from a safety point of view, after a couple of days, they get passed for swimming. Their natural ability, and they don't have any real fear. I don't think any fear is built into them. If they trust us enough to say, you kids jump in the water and swim to the other end of the pool, I'll do it, because we've got lifesavers all up the side. This is the wonderful thing about lifesavers, especially from South Narrabeen and other surf clubs who come along and support us.
Mm. And the cultural connection is made warmer by this whole program.
Yes. Yeah. It's just quite beautiful. So they do the swimming proficiency. We put on a beautiful barbecue for them up to their accommodation. On the Friday morning, the bus arrives at the surf club at about 9 o'clock. I talk about stranger danger. I have our professional lifeguards and lifesavers talk about swimming between the flags. What happens if you get swept out? They talk about rips, and it's all about safety.
Hmm.
And these kids are enjoying the talk, but they're actually being educated.
Of course.
And what we've done this year, we've joined them up. Every child and every carer has been joined up as a member of South Narrabeen Surf Life Saving Club. They have access now to go onto the internet to do CPR courses, to do first aid courses, and a whole range of things. And this is, there again, it's opening up their mind.
Yeah.
On the Friday morning, I have the wonderful, beautiful ladies from the Manly Country Women's Association. They come down in at 8 o'clock. They had the table set up with beautiful morning tea and drinks for the kids, presents for the kids. We present our bits and pieces to them. Kids go in the water. They come out of the water, have this wonderful lunch that the CWA ladies put on, and then we throw them on a bus, and not throw them, but we put them on a bus, and we take them down to Collaroy, and that's when Matty Granger, the wonderful bloke he is, Manly Surf School, he has all his guys there. He doesn't charge me for this. He donates it.
Yeah.
And he has all these kids. He's got 40 boards, and we've got 40 people there in the water helping the kids. We're then back to the surf club and back in the water there, and then a beautiful dinner. We had Circus on the Sand. Another really lovely lady put on a show of all this Circus on the Sand stuff on the Friday night. Then down to the accommodation at about 6 o'clock, and beautiful lady, Letitia Walker. She's an unbelievable painter. She's a painting instructor. And so I bought 40 canvases for the kids and the paint, and spent a couple of hours being taught how to paint. Some of them are just naturals. And
that's just extraordinary. I'm talking with Jack Cannons, who is the founder of Bush to Beach, which is an extraordinary initiative. Jack, is it your observation that the program fosters any long-term change or development for the kids themselves or for the rural communities that they come from?
Yes, yeah.
How would you demonstrate then?
Well, I see so many of the kids been through the program going through to year 12. I was talking to some of the kids. Yeah, doing the program I run up in Queensland is Toomelah and Boggabilla, and they're quite sad areas. There's been a lot of terrible things happen over the years. But I got a report from the principal only just before Christmas saying that the attendance rate at Toomelah last year was in excess of 90%.
Wow.
And that's just music to my ears.
Well, it's music to a lot of people's ears. Not least of all, to the kids themselves, the children themselves.
Yeah, because that's the only way they're going to develop this confidence and self-esteem. We want them to be the best that they can be, and education plays a huge part in that.
It does, and the government spends a lot of money on Aboriginal communities and possibly doesn't even get the type of results that you're getting here. How is the government supporting what you're doing? By the government, I think I'm... I beg your pardon?
They're not.
All right.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, you have mentioned a number of people who donate their services. Is the government aware of the sorts of benefits, the Year 12 education that you're promoting? And indeed facilitating?
I certainly hope so. I was talking to state and federal politicians Saturday night, and they rave about the program. And they've been posting on their Instagram how wonderful it was to be there.
Yeah.
But as I said to a couple of them, put your bloody hand in your pocket, you know. We can grow this right around the country. We're working with Surf Lifesavers, which are if you look at the hours these guys do a month, it's, you know, incredible numbers. It's the biggest volunteer group in the world. I've got a volunteer group that we work with so that we're combined in our enthusiasm of helping others and caring for others. This could be happening right around the country. I've got a list of hundreds of communities that have reached out that want this to happen, but it costs money. Insurance is just killing me, and we've got to have insurance. The due diligence, the governance is very, very important. And I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but Burra, I've got him on my board of directors now.
Yes, I know.
We are all volunteers and give tremendous time. But we could grow this.
If there's anybody who'd like to help you grow it, in fact, if anybody from the government is listening and would like to change their mind and send some money to you, do you have a website or do you have somewhere where people can contact you?
Yes, we do. Bush2Beach.org.
Bush2Beach. bush2beach.org. Jack Cannons, AM, is the founder of Bush to Beach, and I'm very grateful for your time today. Thank you so much for joining us here today, Jack. Look,
thank you. I feel really positive when someone like yourself is positive about the program and they're trying to expand it. So I truly thank you
It's hard not to be positive. And I have to say, Jack, you're doing the work. I'm not. And I'm very grateful. And I think the rest of Australia should be grateful to you as well. In fact, you're encouraging us all to become, as John Williamson would say, true blue.
Yeah. And John Williamson's one of my supporters. He comes to Bush to Beach.
Oh, well, all the more reason. I'm happy to play True Blue. Thanks for joining us, Jack.
Okay, mate.
Bye
Thank
now.
You.
True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by you, mate? When he's in a fight, or will she be right? True blue, I'm asking you. Hey, true blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, true blue. Hey, true blue. And be fitting. Is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, true blue. True blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when she's in a fight? Or will she be right? True blue, I'm asking you. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or will she be right? True.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.